Second, the second characteristic, dependent origination. Sakyamuni Buddha, the founder of Buddhism, was enlightened while sitting on the diamond throne underneath the Bodhi tree in India. What truth did he realize when he achieved enlightenment? He realized the principle of cause and condition and the truth of dependent origination. He realized that all phenomena arise from causes and conditions, and that dependent origination is an unchangeable truth of life and the universe. During the 49 years in which the Buddha taught the Dharma, he directed his efforts to explaining the truth of dependent origination as another special characteristic that distinguishes Buddhism from other religions. Dependent origination is based on the law of cause and effect. All existence, bhava, rises from causes and conditions. The existence of everything in the universe is interdependent. Broadly speaking, from everything as large as the world to something that is as small as a speck of dust, a flower or a blade of grass, all arise due to causes and conditions. The principle of dependent origination is not something that can be explained through scholastic learning. It has to be experienced and realized through actual practice. Before the Buddha renounced secular life, he was already very well versed in the philosophy of the four Vedas, the five courses of studies, the philosophies of the 96 religions' practices, and meditation. He then finally realized the principle of dependent origination and attained Buddhahood. There was a Brahmin named Sariputra, who had practiced Brahmanism for a long time and had many followers, but he still had not realized the truth. One day, Sariputra was walking on a street in Rajgrah and met Asvajit, one of the Buddha's first five disciples. Asvajit was deeply influenced by the Buddha's teachings, and he always practiced what the Buddha taught. Asvajit's demeanor and outward appearance earned him the respect of people who saw him. Sariputra asked him respectfully, "Who are you? Who is your teacher? What does he teach you?" Asvajit replied, "All dharmas arise due to causes and conditions. All dharmas cease due to causes and conditions. Lord Buddha, the great Shramana, always teaches thus." In this context, the word dharmas signify everything in life, all phenomena of the universe. All dharmas arise due to causes and conditions means that all objects and phenomena in the universe arise because of the combination of many causes and conditions. When these causes and conditions are no longer present, the objects and phenomena cease to exist. Sariputra was overjoyed when he heard this. He imparted the wonderful news to his good friend, Modgalyayana. The two of them, together with all of their own followers, went to follow the Buddha. Under the teaching of the Buddha, Sariputra became the foremost in great wisdom amongst the Buddha's disciples, while Modgalyayana became the most prominent for supernatural powers. Thus, we can see that the principle of cause and condition is the truth. We can understand the concept of dependent origination through three aspects. 1. Effects arise from causes. Hetu Pratyaya is the Sanskrit word for causes and conditions. Hetu is the primary cause. Pratyaya is the secondary condition or conditions. Hetu is the direct force from which the fruit, effect, arises. while pratyaya is the indirect force. No phenomena can exist without suitable causes and conditions. This is what is meant by dharmas do not arise by themselves. For example, let us take a soybean. This soybean is a seed, the main cause. Water, soil, sunlight, air, and fertilizer are the necessary secondary conditions. If these causes and conditions come together in an appropriate manner, then the seed can germinate, bloom, and produce fruit. Thus the fruit arises from causes. If we store this soybean in a granary or place it on gravel, it will always remain a seed. The seed cannot grow and bear fruit in the absence of the necessary external conditions. From the viewpoint of time, the societal phenomena of a given period of time may appear to have little or no connection to the societal phenomena of a later period. However, with careful analysis, we soon realize the society of any period cannot arise without the existence of the society of the previous period. Let us take the example of a torch. When the flame from one torch is passed on to a new torch, the previous and the subsequent torches are two separate entities. However, there is a very subtle relationship between these two torches. The flame of the new torch is a continuation of the flame of the old torch. In the flow of time, it is impossible to find an entity isolated from all other entities. From the viewpoint of space, it looks as though one dharma does not have any relationship with another dharma. However, if we look carefully, we will see that the relationship of cause and condition exists among all dharmas. For example, today we have a chance to meet here. This is an effect. The formation of this effect was brought about by many different causes and conditions. You invited me to come here to give a talk. I was free to come. The school is allowing us to use its facilities, and all of you are interested enough to come and listen. Because these conditions all came together at once, our meeting today could be held successfully. If any one of the above-mentioned conditions was lacking, then this meeting would not have been possible. Therefore, the arising of any kind of existence is due to many causes and conditions. The existence of a person also depends on causes and conditions. Even though we have advanced science and technology, and we can invent and produce objects, we still cannot invent life itself. It still arises out of causes and conditions. The joining of the father's sperm with the mother's ovum gives rise to a new life. Human life will then continue only if the physical needs are met through the various items provided for by farmers, factory workers, and merchants. As an analogy, a house is built by placing cement, wood, bricks, and other construction materials together in the proper manner. The house will not exist if these components are taken apart. A person is also like this. If a person's skin, flesh, blood, and bones are separated, then the person will no longer exist. Therefore, all dharmas arise from causes and conditions. When we talk about the formation of life, one question that has prompted debate since ancient times is, which came first, the chicken or the egg? If the chicken came first and the egg came later, then where did the chicken come from? If the egg came first and the chicken came later, then where did the egg come from? Buddhism does not concern itself with questions such as these regarding which entity came first. Nor does Buddhism concern itself with a beginning or an end. Buddhism talks about a cycle that has no beginning and no end, the concept of dependent origination. For example, which is the first Hetu Pratyaya? And which is the later Hetu Pratyaya? This is something that cannot be determined, because any single phenomenon arises due to the coming together of many Hetu Pratyayas. For example, the clock on the wall runs continuously from 1 o'clock to 12 o'clock, and from 12 o'clock back to 1 o'clock. Which is the beginning? Which is the end? It is very difficult to say, because it has no beginning and no end. From this example, we can understand that Hetu Pratyayas are interdependent and interrelated. This is, therefore that is. This arises, therefore that arises. This is not, therefore that is not. This ceases, therefore that ceases. This verse is the best definition of dependent origination. 2. All phenomena exist in accordance with the truth. The principle of dependent origination is subtle and complicated, profound and difficult to understand. It cannot be analyzed using scientific techniques, nor can it be clarified by the metaphysics of philosophy. In the Agama Sutras, the Buddha said that dependent origination is a unique characteristic of Buddhism. It is a truth of the universe that cannot be found in secular teachings. Dependent origination, which states that all phenomena exist in accordance with the truth, is based on the law of cause and effect. If one plants a bean seed, one will reap beans. A melon seed will not give rise to beans, and vice versa. A particular cause will give rise to a particular effect. This is the truth expounded in the law of cause and effect. The truth of this world must be in accordance with the conditions of it originally was like this, it is inevitably like this, and it is universally like this. Truth cannot be modified via debates and need not be described in words. It simply is. For example, the Buddha said anything that arises would cease. From the viewpoint of time, this statement can apply in the past, present, and future. From the viewpoint of space, this statement is true in every part of the world. Regardless of how developed we are culturally, or how advanced we are technologically, we cannot escape from the fact that anything which arises will eventually cease. Any phenomenon that is contrary to the truth will not come to pass. This is what is meant when we say, all phenomena exist in accordance with the truth. 3. The arising of existence depends on emptiness. How did all the dharmas originate in our universe? According to the principle of dependent origination, the arising of all dharmas depends on emptiness, sunyata. Without emptiness, phenomena would not exist. Why? Because without emptiness, there can be no existence. Contrary to the normal definition, here, emptiness does not mean that nothing exists. Emptiness is the nature of emptiness of all phenomena. If it were not for the nature of emptiness, phenomena would never manifest their value and function of existence. The function of phenomena is the application of emptiness. Suppose we wish to construct a house. In addition to materials such as wood, cement, steel rods, and bricks, we also need a design, a blueprint, and measurements. Of course, most importantly, we need empty space. Without empty space, no matter how refined the materials may be, no matter how wonderful the design may be, the house simply cannot be built. Therefore, when there is emptiness, events and phenomena can then come to be. Usually, when emptiness is mentioned, people will become afraid because they have the misconception that Buddhism requires people to negate everything. However, according to Buddhism, emptiness is the basis of all existence. For example, we are all gathered here today because there is space. If there were no space, we would not be able to gather here. Another example of emptiness, according to Buddhism, is the human body. There is much space in the human body. One can exist because one's ear is empty and one's digestive system is empty. Now suppose one's nose, mouth, digestive system were not empty. Could this person survive? Could life still exist? If there is no space, then a house cannot be built. If a bed is not empty, then it cannot hold anything. If the universe is not empty, then human life cannot exist. Thus, there is existence only if there is emptiness. Without emptiness, all dharmas could not arise from conditions, and thus there would be no arising or ceasing of anything. Based on this phenomenon of existence, in the chapter on the Four Noble Truths of the Treatise on the Middle Way, Nagarjuna said, "Because there is emptiness, all dharmas can arise. If there is no emptiness, all dharmas cannot arise."